Reverend Ted Pike will be with us momentarily to bring us up to date on this threat. It's really hard for me to believe that the Congress is even talking about these hate laws. I think that they must be getting pressured from all over. Talked to Ted earlier today via a phone message, and he said that the heat is on and they are beginning to show signs of, I wouldn't say coming to their senses, because I don't think many of them have any, but backing down. And fear is about the only thing they really do understand. So let's see what Ted has to say about that. Hopefully, this won't get out of the Senate. It'll die there, which we can make happen. And for all of you who have tried, thank you, because you have spoken literally for probably 500,000 to 1 million Americans, each one of you who have made the calls and taken the time to extend to those loyal public servants in Washington your true opinions and feelings. So they are not the best, shall we say. And I just can't even imagine what our founding fathers would have to say about this. But we're really one Senate, full Senate vote away from losing our freedom of speech here. And talk radio, of course, will be one of the first things targeted. Certainly this program will be at the top of the list, or right up there with a few others. Minority groups from all over the country will begin to use this as a political tool, not as a shield from abuse and misuse and all the rest of it. So it's not a good situation. But hopefully, we will prevail. And again, without Ted Pike's work, and you know what Ted has done, I think, those of you who have been on the program with us for a long time, for well over 10, 12 years, it's been Ted Pike who single-handedly has rallied the troops, so to speak, to fight the Congress, to force them not to support this insane legislation. And maybe insane is too nice, I'm not sure.
Yeah, thanks for coming
on. I was just telling the folks that I don't know how many years it's been, 10, 12. When did you first start to tackle this dragon?
Well, actually, it was 1988 when I learned that the ADL was announcing its national model hate crimes law competition to all law students in America. And
that's how they started, yeah.
Yeah, 1988, they had the Hofstra Conference and awarded first prize to Joseph Ribbicoff for his proposal to criminalize all Christian leaders in America who might show a movie that was critical of homosexuality, and also criticize all followers who would stay members of that organization. ADL thought that was a wonderful idea and launched out to pass the 45 state hate crimes laws in America.
What was it about this whole thing in the beginning that got it blanketed, covered, whitewashed with protecting homosexuality, when we know now that this is a major tool of political oppression, ultimately?
Well, ADL basically started in 1985, their World of Difference program, which was a broad thrust into education, into business, into civic government to create tolerance for homosexuality. And now ADL claims on the website that they have something like 375,000 teachers, public school teachers in America, who have impacted more than 12 million students in favor of tolerance of homosexuality.
So 375.
Yeah, they got started really early, and then they've had successive programs like the No Place for Hate programs 4 or 5 years ago, and so on. But they are continuing to sophisticate their selling of homosexuality to mainstream America.
They've done it so well that it's now in the curricula, in the textbooks, in an ever-increasing presence, which is tragic. They're talking in England, by the way, of general sex education, which of course is quite liberalized, starting at the age of 5. For little children. Talk about destroying childhood.
Yeah, that's pretty much what ADL wants to do. ADL has two bills in Congress right now. The first one was one of the hate bills that was introduced at the first of the year by Jackson Lee, which is H.R. 262. And what it will do is set up a re-education program in all public schools in America from the age of kindergarten through college, re-educating our young people against those ideas, those seed ideas that might cause intolerance or actually hate crimes. And so its thrust is to prevent hate crimes from the very beginning, which means at the kindergarten level. And then there's another
which is
already in the House Judiciary. It's the big Department of Peace bill, and it wants $12 billion a year to do exactly the same thing nationally and internationally.
All right, hold on, Ted. I don't know about this one. We'll come back and talk about that. Also, near the top of my left column on Rents.com, the homepage, look for the communist takeover of America goal, 45 declared goals of communism. I posted this in 2001 or 2002. But read the 45 goals of communism and understand that the Zionist presence created communism. And these goals are running hand in hand with Zionist dominance of the Western world, especially this country. Okay, back with all of you good people and Reverend Ted Pike. All right, Ted, there's another bill in the House Judiciary?
Oh, yes.
They're trying to do it.
Yeah, the Department of Peace bill was introduced several months ago and in five
Department
different...
Department of Peace.
Department of Peace bill. And this is another ADL initiative. They're wanting $12 billion a year to establish a Department of Peace in the United States government, which will be on the equivalent of Annapolis, West Point, Colorado Springs Air Force Academy in power, in order to be a counterweight to our militaristic and intolerant attitudes in this country. And these peace cadets will go throughout the country and throughout the world as ambassadors of tolerance. And not only that, but they'll have the same educational program. They'll have an anti-homophobia, anti-hate crime program going down again to the kindergarten level all the way through college, requiring the students to submit to tolerance training and enlightenment against the biases and prejudices which have plagued their ancestors.
The Department of Peace. So what's attached to the Department of Peace bill beside that is it, how does it relate to anti-hate legislation?
Yeah, it includes initiatives against hate crimes and in favor of general educational programs and a kind of a mediation. These peace cadets will go out from the Department of Peace Academy, which will be massively federal funded. I hope you heard me correctly when I said $12 billion a year. The Jackson Lee's bill only wants $10 million a year for that, and this wants $12 billion. And they have a huge list of co-signers on this legislation. I think it's something like 62 or so. It's in five different committees right now in the House Judiciary, and I'm expecting as soon as the emphasis on the present hate bill is over, they'll be moving that through. They're taking it very seriously.
All right, as I've said before, and as you've said, we're being attacked from just about every angle we can imagine. These people are not resting.
Yeah.
Let me read this, Ted. It merits. The 45 avowed goals of communism include a number of things which I think you folks will understand are being achieved or very close to being achieved right now. This is interesting. Control art critics and directors of art museums. Quote, our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. Interesting.
Yeah.
This is an old document. All right, here's the kicker. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Now that, Ted, is the ultimate in hypocrisy and, well, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Let me read it again. This is an avowed goal of communism. So you can call it whatever you want. Zionism, communism, Bolshevism, socialism, fascism, it doesn't matter. This is the plan. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship laws and a violation of free speech and free press.
Yes.
There's one. Here's another one. To break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and television.
Yes.
And remember, this was before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the coup de grace. To present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. There you go.
Yeah. Well, that's the ADL agenda. You know, I have a number of writings, and especially one article at my website, truthtellers.org, in which I document very powerfully from British intelligence, Dutch intelligence, American intelligence, in the period about 1918, the massive, massive complicity of these internationalist Jews, from rugged revolutionaries like Trotsky, Radek, Zinoviev, Kamenev, Sverdlov, and so on, to the highest financiers, the Rothschilds, the Warburgs, and Jacob Schiff of present Chase Manhattan, used to be Kuhn and Loeb, in making communism possible. And they are interested from those revolutionaries back then and financiers to the ADL frontline agenda today. They are all interested in breaking down Christian civilization, Christian morals and values, the capitalist free enterprise system, our symbols and our traditions that have made this America great, so that they can overlay over that their own Zionist New World Order. And I point out in a recent article, in fact, which you have posted at rents.com, that the head of the Anti-Defamation League, ADL, is a pious Orthodox Jew by the name of Abe Foxman. And Abe Foxman is proud of the fact that he left his congregation, his Orthodox congregation, I believe it was about 1991 in Teaneck, New Jersey. He left in anger because they were not praying for the state of Israel as passionately as they should be. And he's very proud in his book, which is called Never Again, The New Anti-Semitism, very proud of the fact that he is earnestly looking forward to the Jewish Messiah, which Jewish literature abundantly documents will be a one-world ruler ruling the world from Jerusalem. And so this is a spiritual, political, economic, military, and a financial thrust against everything that Western civilization has accomplished and has stand for throughout the ages.
Well, it's spiritual in the sense that it's a belief system, but I'm not sure that I would call it spiritual in the sense I like to use the word. All right. We'll be back with Ted Pike in just a couple minutes. Truthtellers.org is his very important website. Do look at the video there. It's about 10 minutes long. It's superb. All about the so-called anti-hate law. And we're talking about the so-called anti-hate laws, which will be the death knell of the First Amendment in this country. There are, I've said this before, and for you newcomers, there are plenty of laws in all the states to take care of issues of true harassment of individuals. They're there. You go to your police department, you file a report, district attorney takes over, there are laws. We don't need this. Ted, go ahead, please.
Well, Jeff, we really have a light at the end of this hate crimes tunnel that's been facing us ever since the first of the year when the hate bills were introduced. As our listeners are probably aware, the federal hate bill did pass the House of Representatives overwhelmingly about 3 weeks ago. But just before it was passed on the floor, the day before, Senator Edward Kennedy quietly introduced his version of the federal hate bill into the Senate Judiciary, and the bill number on that is S-909. I am absolutely confident that he was confident that they could run it through the Senate Judiciary the next week, have a repeat performance in the Senate, get it on the floor of the Senate. They've got all the votes they need there, not only from 60 Democrats, but probably 7 or 8 turncoat Republicans. They could have easily passed it, but they haven't been able to do that. And here we are going on 3 weeks later, and Patrick Leahy still doesn't seem to have the nerve to bring the S-909 to a vote in the Senate Judiciary to shoot it forward to the floor of the House. And what's happened is that we had these feisty Republicans in the House Judiciary, especially Steve King, who offered this last-minute amendment in the Judiciary markup hearing in the House, and he said, well, if we're going to have a hate bill, the least we should do is to make it very clear in the language of this bill that pedophiles will not receive special federal protection under this pseudo class called sexual orientation. And that was absolutely rejected by the Democrats. And then the next day or so on the floor of the House, Representative Al C. King, a strong and eloquent hate bill promoter and supporter, he just flat out said, he said, this bill will protect all 547 paraphilias, sexual deviancies, which are listed by the American Psychological Association. He said, all these people now will be able to live without fear because of who they are. And that was just an astonishing statement, declaring from the Democratic contingent that right. They do want to include pedophiles and all of these other things like necrophilia, bestiality, and all of these groups with special federal attention and protection. And you see, when I heard both of those statements, I was listening very carefully to both of those proceedings in Congress. I knew that I said in one of my emails that I knew that God had delivered the Democrats into our hands, because these were major, major blunders on the part of the Democrats. And I was able, through with your help and actually to get the whole new right, the religious right, excited. And WorldNet Daily, Janet Folger, they all started promoting this idea that this is a pedophile protecting hate bill. And since then, in the last 2 weeks, the American people have just been dumping on the Senate and the Senate Judiciary this accusation, this question: do you Democrats in the Senate really want to go on record as supporting a pedophile protecting hate bill? What's this going to do to you and your chances of reelection next time around? Now, the good news is that I believe we've got the Democrats on the run. I believe they are on the horns of a dilemma now. Patrick Leahy literally doesn't know what to do. And I believe that he has only two alternatives as it stands right now. The first alternative is to go ahead and bull the hate bill through, just get the Democrat majority to vote on it in the Senate Judiciary next week or the week following, bull it through and try to get it on the floor and get a vote on it. But what that's going to do is it's going to make all of the members of Congress as well as the American people say, hey, well, if this bill is so weak that it cannot withstand formal hearings and congressional scrutiny and witnesses and debate and amendments and so on, maybe I better not vote for this bill if Leahy has to do basically an end run around due process in the Senate Judiciary. And then the other alternative which Leahy has now before him is to wait and do nothing. And that seems to be what he's doing. Meanwhile, all the members of the Senate now have been instructed, they've been instructed by Steve King to follow exactly the program we have had since the first of the year. Steve King is telling everybody to send in the calls to the 19 members of the Senate Judiciary, call your senators And don't email, don't fax, don't send in petitions, but make definite, I mean, one-to-one calls to the members of the 19 members of the Senate Judiciary. And what's happening is we've got the Democrats scared there, and they don't know what they're going to do. They're 2 weeks late on what I think was definitely their agenda to get it passed. I think we've got them on the run, and I think there is real hope at the end of this hate crimes tunnel. And what I'm calling people to do tomorrow morning, in fact, I encourage all of our listeners tomorrow morning to get calls in to the Senate, particularly to the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Tell them, please, we must have hearings on this crucial legislation. We must have formal hearings with witnesses called and the proper protocol observed to let the due process go forward. And also we need to call in there and say, if I and my friends hear that this senator that I'm calling is going to vote for the pro-pedophile hate bill, then we will never, never forgive or forget.
I like that. I like the sound of that. And
well,
that's exactly what people need to say.
Yeah, I sent an email out last night because this was a kind of a victory email I sent out. Actually, James Dobson, Dr. Dobson, was on national radio, Christian radio, all across the country on Friday, and he had Steve King on there. He had Louis Gohmert of Texas. But the what was actually tragic about it was that he said that the darkness in Washington is so great that it's not even worth calling anymore, that instead we need to just pray to God. And I thought that was just really pathetic. He could have gotten thousands and thousands of calls going in, so I couldn't let him get away with that. So I wrote that email and sent it out last night as a way. And in fact, what I did is I itemized 1, 2, 3, 4 how we have definitely changed history, and we have held back the progress of the hate bill, and we've continued to do so right up to this very moment.
Who said that again, Ted?
Well, Ted Pike says that we have a very powerful record over the last 3.5 months of
holding back
the hate bill.
It was so dark there.
Yeah, Dobson, Dr. James Dobson of Focus on the
now,
Family.
I thought it was someone else. It was Dobson himself.
Yeah, Dobson. I've been wondering, in fact, for the past 4 months, where in the world is Focus on the Family? Where is Dobson? And the truth is, he didn't come out for even his first article until 3 days before the hate bill passed in the House of Representatives. A pathetic performance. Finally, he's come out and he's got Gohmert and King on.
Uh-huh.
But instead of running with it and doing justice to these fighting Republicans in the House Judiciary, here he comes out with this lame moan that we got to basically wait around for God to deliver us. And this email I sent out last night says, no, it's very demonstrable, very clear. We have impacted.
Yeah.
We have impacted this hate bill. We may even have mortally damaged it, leading to perhaps even it dying in committee in the next few weeks.
We have just a minute left. What is your take on that? What is a man like that, who has such a following and such respect for many people, got to say things like that for? What's behind
it? He's not really a fighter. He's not really a fighter. And we've seen this from Dobson in previous years. In fact, 2 years ago, he said it was all over. We couldn't win against the hate bill. But largely from your influence and talk radio and internet, free internet, we were able to get a lot of action into the judiciary again 2 years ago from the very beginning. And that galvanized Republicans, 180 Republicans, to fight this whole hate crimes, thought crimes, bias crimes, the liberal agenda. And we defeated six major bills in the 110th Congress. And I believe we're on a roll here. Believe it or not, we're on a roll. And at last, I'm getting the evangelicals speaking out. All of these big organizations are now speaking out and encouraging their people to protest.
Ted, the bottom line and the truth is, without you, they would have won years ago.
Well,
and let's give credit where credit's due.
Well, right now, what I want is the people not to let things cool down in the Senate Judiciary.
No.
Right tomorrow morning.
Not the time.
Just let me give the toll-free number there if I could.
Please.
The top priority right now is to keep this snowball gaining momentum. Don't give those Senate Democrats a moment's rest. And here's the toll-free number to your members of the Senate or for the Senate Judiciary, 877-851-6437. Again, that's 877-851-6437.
Make the call, folks. Keep the pressure on. Don't let them think we are weakening. We're not. Ted, thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you, Jeff. Couldn't do it without you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Good night. Reverend Ted Pike. This is the most important issue facing us in our First Amendment.